Welcome to a brand new episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. It's the podcast that takes a look behind the scenes of the fantasy football industry through interviews with some of your favorites in the business. On this episode, I was joined by Mike Crystal, co-founder of South Harmon Fantasy Football, to talk about his love for the Philadelphia Eagles, playing Madden franchise mode while growing up, the hardest part about running a business, how the South Harmon name came about, renting an old school to stay in at the Fantasy Football Expo, who he'd want to take on in a fantasy football matchup, growing the South Harmon brand, and a ton more. Make sure to follow Mike on Twitter at @IowaMichael. Feel free to follow me at @TheCaseyKasem and the podcast at GetReal_pod. Also, make sure to check out SundayDreamersClub.com. Again, that's SundayDreamersClub.com. It's my fantasy football-inspired t-shirt company. I would love to see some of the shirts out in the wild at the Fantasy Football Expo. You can find my content over with South Harmon Fantasy Football, Roto Baller, and Fantasy Six Pack. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. And now, here's my conversation with Mike Crystal on Get Real with Casey Kasem. Okay. Hey, friend. Hey,
what's up?
What's up, dude? I feel like I've been talking to you like every week, so this is awesome.
Yeah. Trying to get some stuff off the ground. I like it. I'm on Get Real. Look at this.
You're on Get Real, and I'm excited to get real with you because you're an awesome dude. We know that.
Come on.
If you don't know that, then you'll get to know him, and then you'll be like, oh, yes, that's an awesome dude. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to get to know you because you're an important part of this space. I'm really glad to know you and to have you as my, like, my little mentor who's taking me under their wing. So
I'm a novice. Come on.
Like, oh gosh, quit it. So
yeah, I'm going to blush.
Right. Let's talk about some stuff, some other stuff. Let's talk about, because I want to know about your sports background. Like when you were growing up, how did you associate with sports? Did you play sports, watch sports? How did that go?
I was in depth. I couldn't stop from the jump. I don't know if it's, we talk about generations now, right? Everybody's got a label, you know, boomers and Gen X and Gen Z and Y and millennials. And I don't even know what the hell the next one's going to be, you know, what my kids are considered. But when I was growing up, like 90s kids, like that's where I'm going to put it in. If you were a child in the 90s, which I was, you know, from 4 at 1990, there I can date myself to all the way up to 99. I don't know if it was just parenting or just how we were raised, but you come home from school and you drop your stuff off, and your parents tell you to basically piss off, come back at dinner time. They feed you, and then they tell you to piss off again, and when the streetlights are on, get your ass in the house.
Yep.
So during that time, we're out running the streets, but for me, it was playing baseball and basketball and football. We really didn't get it. Later on, we got into the old video games. You know, I grew up in the Midwest in Iowa, so winters were rough, so... We get into the PlayStation, the first one, the OG, but Super Nintendo and stuff with the friends. But sports has always been a passion of mine. I think for as long as I can remember, watching like the first Super Bowl I can remember was the Dallas. I think it was the first one against the Bills. Watching that and the Budweiser, Bud Light commercials. They used to have the beer cans with the helmets like fighting like they were playing football. So especially football has always been a huge passion, but basketball, baseball to an extent, wrestled some when I was in high school. If there was a sport, I was trying to play it, trying to figure out if I was good at it or not. Some of them good, some of them terrible. Me and golf do not get along. Me and tennis do not get along. Of course, my only tennis experience was playing against one of my cousins when I was a teenager, and she was nationally ranked at the time. And she just absolutely obliterated the hell out of me and embarrassed me, you know, really put that whole thing to bed about, you know, boys can beat girls and everything. Well, yeah, right. No, no, not if you're not talented and she's extremely talented. You're going to look terrible. It'd be like if I tried to play my 7-year-old in tennis right now, I'd obliterate her. I'm terrible.
I'd watch that. I would definitely watch that. If you need any content creation ideas, that's one right there. I totally.
She's scrappy too. She might get me. I don't know. She's out there doing dance and gymnastics. That's what she loves to do. So haven't got her into sports like football yet or anything that I really like, but I let her pick her own lane, do what she loves. And she seems to really love the dance. But for me, when I was growing up, it was all about sports. And then played a bunch in high school, played 1 year of college football, D3 school. And then, you know, real life came.
Yeah, it does come real fast.
Kids, marriage, and made a decision to actually, you know, join the workforce.
Yeah. That's the, okay. So back to better times and, you know, some better times. Being a child is full of fun memories and all that. Were you a fan of a specific team or anything growing up, whether that be in football or anything else?
So my fandom, like my professional teams that I follow, is very strange. So where I grew up in Iowa, it's, you know, close to the Mississippi. We got a lot of Vikings fans. We got some Bears fans, a lot of Packers fans. Not too many Chiefs fans, oddly. I don't find too many of those. And then, like I said, in the 90s, you know, it was the Cowboys, man. Everybody was on that bandwagon, loved Dallas, and I despised them. Despised them. You know, I never really rooted for the winner. I was always kind of, you didn't have to be an underdog, right? I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan. Like, I didn't gravitate to them like some terrible franchise. But, you know, if you were decent enough, I kind of gravitated towards you. And I remember... specifically, so funny story about how I became a Philadelphia Eagles fan of all things. I was sitting in a hospital. So we had a fifth grade trip. They used to take us out to this camp, you know, all the fifth graders every year for the fifth graders. They take you to this camp for a weekend, essentially. So outdoor camp and make s'mores and ride horses and do some archery and that kind of stuff. And we ended up just playing a lot of tackle football, you know, because we're fifth graders who have way too much energy. But during the horse riding thing, I'd never ridden a horse before, so I went to go ride the horse, and I found out I'm extremely allergic to just horses. I don't know why. So I had a terrible reaction, you know. I had what they thought was asthma at the time, your eyes swollen shut. So actually I ended up spending the rest of that trip in the hospital. But I'm sitting there on a Monday night watching a Monday night football in the hospital bed by myself in fifth grade. And the Eagles were playing Dallas, and the Eagles were taking it to Dallas. And it was at that moment in fifth grade, I was like, that's my team. That's who I wanted. And I got in on the Eagles when they were terrible. I mean, they may have been taking it to Dallas that night, but the rest of the season was terrible. They were garbage from there on out until they got Donovan McNabb in that draft in 99, I believe. And then kind of turned it around, and my whole Philadelphia Eagles fandom, I've kind of accepted right up until 2017 that we're never going to win a Super Bowl ever. And we're just going to be like the Chicago Cubs, essentially, of football, you know. The lovable losers, except for nobody loves Philly ever. Everybody hates them.
Yes.
So 2017 was like the highlight. And then basketball, like I follow a lot of NBA, college basketball. Basketball just ended up being, you know, 90s Jordan Bulls. I'm in the Midwest. Everybody's a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
I remember watching this 7'1", 7'2". Don't want to shortchange him. This guy, you may have heard of him, Shaquille O'Neal, playing for the Magic. And him taking it to Michael Jordan's Bulls in, I think it was 96, 95, 95 when they played. And kind of became a Magic fan, but I was more a Shaquille O'Neal fan. And then when he went to Los Angeles, you know, as a little kid, I just followed the player. And Lakers stuck with me ever since. So can't call me a bandwagon guy. I don't claim anything in the 80s. They were good in the 80s, but I was barely conscious for most of the 80s, you know. Four at max. So followed them all the way up through the Kobe years. And Shaq may have gotten me to LA, but Kobe sealed it forever. So
nice. All right. I like that. Yeah. That whole Bulls when I was a kid. Yeah. That was the jam too. Like Mavericks man, because grew up in Dallas. But yeah, everybody was watching
the Bulls.
Like the Bulls all the time. So
the Bulls. Unpopular opinion though, LeBron's the GOAT. So
LeBron's. I don't know how unpopular that is anymore. I don't know. It depends on...
We'll see how many people I can get turned off the podcast within the first 5 minutes. Like, please, this guy just said,
don't turn it off. No, I'm just kidding. You can do whatever you want. That's fine. It's fine. Do what you want. But, okay, I interviewed Hutchinson Brown, and he's an Eagles fan, and he told me he got into the Eagles through Carson Wentz and everything. Okay. So when you hear like the younger generation saying something like Carson Wentz is the reason why I got into liking the Eagles or liking, you know, NFL, like, what does that make you feel like?
It's so strange, right? Dealing with the, we'll call them the younger generation, because I'm of the older generation. If I'm not reminded every day by looking in the mirror at all the gray in my beard, it's different to hear him say that the cave in with Carson Wentz, like, as the thing, especially just the way that ended up working out for him. You know, I had to deal with some Ty Detmer was the quarterback at one time during my fandom. Like Bobby Joe Hoying, like some absolute garbage cans.
Yes, I feel you on that as a Cowboys.
I mean, I did have a great run in the early 2000s with Donovan McNabb, you know, four straight NFC championship games, made the Super Bowl once, and then get your teeth kicked in, you know, in high school of all things. And it's just it was so funny because at the time I was dating somebody and her whole family's Dallas fans. So me being the Eagles fan was like, oh, and we're watching the Super Bowl the Eagles are playing in, and they're playing the Patriots, and they're having the time of their lives, you know, because the Patriots are beating my Eagles. You know, and then when it never happens for you, and then we move on from McNabb and we get like a Michael Vick year, and I'm like, yeah, let's go, Michael Vick, you know, MVP coming back. And then that kind of faded off into oblivion, and then we don't really know what's going on. And you got Nick Foles maybe, and the Sam Bradford trade. Oh, I remember being so horribly mad at that. Like, why? Why Sam Bradford plays at Oklahoma? I hated Oklahoma too. Yeah, and then to see Carson Wentz, getting excited about Carson Wentz and how well it went, and him getting injured after that season, you know, the MVP season that he was having up until that point, tearing his ACL. Not going to lie to you, Casey, I told everybody who asked me about it, what do you think about Nick Foles taking over and what are your chances? I'm like, we're going to get demolished. Like, this is terrible. And then to go on that magical run and actually beat Tom Brady, the GOAT of football. Oh my gosh. So seeing somebody who came in at the Carson Wentz time, like, you missed out on all the good stuff. Yeah. You missed out on all the things that make you a diehard fan that's cynical. Like, every year you go, oh, we'll probably be terrible for it. So good for him, at least, like, picking a good time to come in. I wish I could have had that luxury.
Yeah, I get that. I'm thinking about being a Cowboys fan, too, with everything. And I'm man, the crap that we've had to go through, and I'm just like, whatever. I can't even imagine being a kid nowadays and trying to figure out who I want to be a fan of. I just don't know.
Close your eyes and pick.
Yeah, basically. So you brought up, you know, Oklahoma, you're not a fan. So do you watch college football as well?
Hardcore college fan. So that one's interesting too. I live in Iowa, born in Iowa, moved around some when I was a kid. My mom has always lived in Iowa as long as I've been born, but her and my dad divorced probably before I was even born or very slightly after. So he was all over the place. So, you know, I spent some time in Montana, Tennessee, Wyoming, Idaho, like all the places you don't want to live. He moved around a lot for his job. He worked for the railroad. So anytime there was a transfer, he was up for it. He hopped on board. Sure, I'll go to Sheridan, Wyoming, of all places. A Glasgow, Montana. Go Scotties, by the way. Went to school there for a year in seventh grade. So kind of moving around, at least at the early part. I didn't put a whole lot of roots in Iowa, like Iowa football, Iowa college athletics. I was kind of like just a casual fan. At that time, though, in the 90s, big Florida State fan. Florida State was on a run, so. If you want to accuse me of dynasty hopping, at least I got in on the Florida State dynasty of the 90s. But Peter Warrick, Chris Wanky, Warrick Dunn, it was just absolutely incredible. Cowboys legend there, Deion Sanders from Florida State. So it's Florida State was my first love, but I want to say about 2000, our first Big Ten championship in forever for Iowa. That season I was big into. The Hawkeyes earned it, and then just I fell in love, you know, it's a local team. I got something to root for. So that story is always crazy. For those of you who are of the younger generation or don't know, Iowa hadn't played in a Big Ten championship, not game. We didn't have a Big Ten championship game at that time. This is predates that. So it was just the final game. You had to win the regular season to be the Big Ten champs. And I think they ended up being the co-champs. So if we just keep it 100 here. Co-champs. So whatever that is, a tie. But they were going up to play Minnesota. And this is at the old, was in the Metro Dome, the one with like the balloon stadium top. It ended up caving in on a snowstorm or something like that. And that's when they ended up, we're done with this. We're building a new one. But they go up and they play the Minnesota Gophers. And to this day, Minnesota still hates us from this exact moment. So they go up to play them. Ton of Hawkeye fans there. Iowa ends up beating Minnesota to declare a shame, to claim a share of the Big Ten championship. And the Iowa fans rush Minnesota's field, home field, tear down their goalposts, and like parade them outside of the stadium, right? So still to this day, like if you watch a Minnesota sporting event, like you'll randomly hear like a "We hate Iowa" chant. They won't even be playing Iowa. They'll be playing like Purdue. And they're chanting like "We hate Iowa."
So, oh man,
still rings true. Listen for that. But you want to talk about a fandom moment that just like sealed it? Boom! Watching our fans tear down their goalpost in their stadium.
Right? What I'm an like, experience!
Who
does that?
Who rushes the field at an away stadium? You never see that.
You never see that. But that's a crazy story.
I had a great run with Kirk Ferentz as the head coach. Still going. Longest tenured guy out there in college football, so still pumping along. But lately, Iowa's kind of been tough to watch. Amazing defense and offense that reminds you of something that you'd see in 1930. I don't know if we've discovered that we can throw the ball forward. Like, it's legal to throw a forward pass, but maybe one day.
Maybe
one day.
So how did you come across fantasy football? Because, I mean, going from just watching sports to playing in a fantasy football league, that's a whole different thing. So how did you come across that?
So my stepdad got me into fantasy football when I was young. I want to say first league I can remember doing, did one with him and my dad and some other people in it, probably like an 8-team league. But it was seventh grade season. And I remember my stepdad had been in one. He'd been doing a work league for forever. I mean, I remember helping him out. So this is back in the day where you used to get the newspaper and then you'd have to go through and like manually add how many yards and how many points people got and manually add. I used to help him do that. But seventh grade, I remember we did a fantasy football league. Me and my dad co-managed the team for the first time. It was terrible. My dad's a Dolphins fan. So our first pick in a 1QB 18 league, let's just call it, was Dan Marino. And it was Dan Marino's last year he ever played. He had some bone spurs or something in his shoulder. He was terrible.
Oops.
But at the end of the draft, we're on the phone with my stepdad and he goes, you know, I think a good like last pick, you know, nobody's really thinking about it, but you get a little Iowa feel. Is there's this kid who used to play at UNI and then he was bagging groceries at Hy-Vee. And for people who aren't from the Midwest, like Hy-Vee is the grocery store, right? It's the grocery store. You see Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce doing commercials for him. And it's the grocery store. He's bagging groceries at Hy-Vee. And then he got a tryout with the Rams. And, you know, I think he might be pretty good this year. You know, there's a possibility maybe he plays. And it's Kurt Warner. You guys should pick him. And I'm like, nah, I ain't picking a backup quarterback. That guy's terrible. And then Kurt Warner goes on to, after Trent Green gets injured, to, you know, win MVP, win the Super Bowl, set all kinds of records, greatest show on turf, all that. So that one always sticks. It's like, oh, I could have drafted Kurt Warner and been the smartest guy in the room. Nope.
Oh, it didn't happen. But, you know, at least, you know, you got that out of your system early.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I want to say then probably when I was a freshman, there was a spot open in my stepdad's work league. His buddies that have been doing it forever. And they're like, hey, Mike's a fanatic about football. Let's get him in here. So, you know, I'm drafting with guys who are 30, 40, real jobs, real kids. You know, I'm just this 14-year-old in a bar, you know, on a Friday night drafting with these guys. But that league is still going. I still commission that league. It still runs with a bunch of the same people that are in it. But that's how I originally got into fantasy football, of all things, was 14-year-old snot dribbler there just trying to show up all these old guys who could definitely just beat the hell out of me any chance they wanted if I mouthed off too hard.
When people say stories like that about how they were 14 or they were younger, and I'm like, man, why were my parents, what happened? Like, why did I not find out about this until, like, you know, when I was old and grown and everything, raised.
Right.
Yeah, I raised myself over here learning how to play fantasy football. But you... So going from like starting out, just co-owning a team, one quarterback, you know, smaller league size, to where you are now playing Dynasty and everything, how did you make a transition to getting into Dynasty?
So it's always been an interest of mine. You know, I mentioned video games earlier, but, you know, Madden was a huge thing. And then obviously NCAA football, which I'm so incredibly excited that video game's coming back. I am going to just block off a time, probably a week, where it's like, nobody talk to me. I'm busy. I'm catching up on all the nostalgia I haven't had since, you know, 2014. Okay. I got 10 years of pent up frustration that I need to take an Iowa to a national championship. It's going to happen. But you used to play a lot of Madden, and one of the best things Madden ever did was when they put in franchise mode. And that just became like a staple of my childhood, my growing up, you know, high school, college, adulthood, playing franchise mode and building a team. So when it came to Dynasty, I always wanted to get into Dynasty as soon as I heard about it. And I don't remember how many years into fantasy I was before I heard about Dynasty. Our work league, home league that I do, the only one that I do that's been going on forever. We do a keeper league, and it's been a keeper league forever. But it's only two keepers, and I've always been like, man, I wish we could have more, you know? Like, I want to build a team, like, it's franchise. And that kind of stuck with me, and I remember at one point, maybe 10 years ago, somewhere around there, I was looking for Dynasty leagues, and MFL was like the one that came up on the Google searches, or maybe I was using Yahoo at that time. I don't know. Bing. I don't think Bing was around, but one of those search engines that came up, and looking at it, and because of like gambling laws and interstate commerce and all that stuff, like it was either banned here, or maybe it was the price point, you know, the whole MFL thing that's currently in the news cycle now. It's like, you know, pay $100 to be able to use this for, you know, for your leagues. And it's like, I ain't doing that. Like, you already got to pay a league fee, and then I got to pay another fee. This is just crazy. But didn't really get into Dynasty until Sleeper started doing Dynasty. And when I found out through maybe Reddit message board or something like that, that, hey, you could do a Dynasty League on Sleeper and it's free. And, you know, people use this thing called League Safe and they hold the money. And I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. So 2018 or 2019 was my first ever Dynasty League. Got Sleeper, downloaded it, found a Dynasty League, and was like, here we go. Let's just hop into it. And it was horrible. Didn't know what I was doing. Everybody else kind of had a leg up on you. I'm out there trading Austin Eckler away for a third round pick because, you know, why not? You know, I don't like the guy. Just give me a third. Still haunts me to this day. Like, how? You're an idiot. How could you do something like that? But after that first league, I was just hooked. And now it's an endless addiction. 40-some leagues at this point in Dynasty, just doing content almost daily on Dynasty. It is absolutely incredible from where it started to where it's gone now. It's terrible. If I was a drug addict, they would have thrown me in rehab a long time ago.
You know, I'm glad that you brought up the story about your first Dynasty League and the draft, because, man, my first one was like insane too. I was giving away picks and creating for players that probably had like one good year left in them for like, you know, it was just like, what am I doing? And then somebody finally was like, quit fleecing Casey. And then they were like, oh, okay, maybe we should stop. Like,
maybe we'll be nice.
I'm like, I'm brand new to this, guys.
Nobody said quit fleecing Mike. Everybody was like, yeah, keep it. That's the fish. That's the fish right there. This guy has no idea what the hell he's doing.
I mean, you know, you take advantage when you can take advantage. And right. You know your teams, you know your league mates. So there you go.
Just let them know, like, I made a list. I didn't forget you. All right? I find you in a league now. You're the fish.
So going from redraft to Dynasty and having a keeper league as well in there, which I always enjoy being in because it kind of gives you the best of both worlds and all that jazz. A nice little, you know, stepping stone to Dynasty. But yeah, going from redraft to Dynasty, I mean, I'm sure knowing about college football was really beneficial to you, but what did you find helped you out when you were going into the draft?
So the first rookie draft, so when I started Dynasty, I didn't actually do a startup draft or anything. I just took over an orphan. I was like, this is probably the easiest way to go in. Let me just, knowing what I know now, you know, taking over an orphan is a big deal, right? There's a reason it's an orphan. Right. It's the same thing when we're on Twitter and you see somebody put out a take on something bad and they, no offense to them, but the first thing I see is the, you know, former scout for so-and-so in here. And I always go like, yeah, there's probably a reason you're former. Isn't there? Like, just slightly, maybe.
Right.
If you were really good at being a scout, then you'd probably still be a scout, wouldn't you? just spitballing here, but. When you take over an orphan like that, your first experience, there's a reason that team's been left open because it was already bad to start with. So jumping in the deep end was probably the best way for me actually to get into Dynasty and make my own mistakes and learn from them. Just the whole process from where it started to where it is now has, you know, 100-fold different and 100-fold more efficient and there's more data behind it and there's more reasoning behind it, right? You get more historical trends when you do it for the first time. I mean, there's not a lot of resources out there to be like, hey, this is what you do when you're a brand new Dynasty player. Yeah. It's like you even if you find a podcast or somebody that you like, you're not going to jump in at the exact right time where they're explaining it from step one.
No, you're not.
They're always like 17 levels ahead and it might as well be in French. Right?
Yeah, right.
It's just another language. I don't understand what you're talking about. But a lot of that was just failing so hard. And, you know, the Keeper League, I always had an affinity for taking rookies or trying to find that gem. You know, like one of my best calls ever was Maurice Jones-Drew of the Jaguars, his rookie year in that Keeper League, like making sure that I snagged him because I really liked him coming out. One of my worst ones, also a Jaguar, Matt Jones. I mean, he was fine for a year, but for those of you who don't remember Matt Jones, 6'6", 230, looked like Calvin Johnson, except for white with really long hair. Former college quarterback for Arkansas. Did okay, you know, maybe for a year or two, and then he found cocaine. And that was the end of Matt Jones. Out of the league and never to be heard of again. Yeah.
Well, you're a former, what was that, former scout for the Philadelphia Eagles, Madden 2017.
Yeah, that's right, what so. I put it by Twitter.
Yes, when you said that, I was like, yeah, buddy, yeah, you are.
Former scout for the Philadelphia Eagles and Madden.
That's awesome.
Championships. I got Super Bowl resumes, boys.
Yeah. See? Receipts. Yep.
Receipts all over the place. Receipts
all over the place.
Look at my Lombardis.
Boom.
Can't even show them off behind me. There's so many.
There's just so many. And they would probably just like, oh, man.
Yeah, they're blinding.
If people could see the audio, if they could see the video, they'd be like, yeah, for sure. So
yeah, you think that neon sign that says South Harmon behind me is bright. Just wait till it reflects off some of the virtual Madden Lombardi trophies I got.
Well, speaking of South Harmon, let's kind of get into that just because I know that's one of the reasons people are listening is because they want to know more about South Harmon.
Yeah.
And so let's just kind of get into just the beginning journey in starting South Harmon. Like, where did the idea come from and having someone co-found it with you? How did that all work out?
So a lot of what went into South Harmon stemmed from those early Dynasty Leagues, right? You go out and you start searching for content, YouTube, podcast, whatever it is. I want to get better. Like, I want to listen to smart people. And you find some over the years or over time that you really gravitate towards. Like, hey, this person really knows what the hell they're talking about. Like, I like this. And not everything works out, right? You know, I tell a lot of people when we do podcasts, and Dynasty is like, if you can get 60% of it right, you're a championship team more times than not, right? 60% of your trades, 60% of your draft picks, you're doing really good. You're going to have a lot of misses, but just don't focus on them. I mean, if you're going to focus on them, focus on why you missed, like what led to it. Like, was there something I did? Was there something that I got wrong? And try to correct that. But so looking for all this content, the first thing I found was the Fantasy Flock and started listening to that, just a YouTube show. Didn't have a ton of viewers at the time. And now Mason has blown that up into, oh my God, stratosphere. Like, it's taken it to the moon at this point. But I got in on the ground floor. But at one point he had a guy used to do it, and I used to laugh because he had like a box fan behind him. It looked like he was recording in a dungeon on the YouTube videos, and he was talking into like a PlayStation headset at the time. But just listening to the content, I was like, man, this guy is super sharp, just the way he thinks about like moves ahead and ahead and ahead. Like, he's playing chess and I'm out here playing checkers, and I don't even know if it's checkers. It might be Connect Four. I don't even know what game I'm playing. It ended up being Scott Connor. And for anybody who's met, listened, talked to Scott Connor, lives, breathes, eats Dynasty. That's what he does. If I think about Dynasty, first name comes to my mind is Scott Connor. Then I found BDGE. Really liked what Nick had going over there. Kind of funny. He had a couple guys on doing what was called bunk bed breakdowns, you know, RIP to that show. I miss it every day. But Mike and Noah used to just dish out awesome information all the time, and I loved the way they thought about it. And then when it became like prospect time, you start looking at guys, you know, like, I got to get ready for my rookie draft. And I ended up finding a guy called Ray GQ. You guys might know him, Ray Garvin. And consumed so much of Ray's content on prospects that it almost felt guilty because you're on YouTube and I'm just watching it for free. And, you know, you give them a sub and a like and comment, great video, that kind of thing. But I'm like, I gotta do more, man. This guy's putting an incredible amount of work into this and really helping me out. Find out he's got a Patreon, and go over to the Patreon. And I'm like, I'm not messing around with the entry level sub. He's helped me out so much. He's helped me win some money in the past. Let's go to the top tier, man. So we went right to the Heisman tier, and I think maybe at the time it was $30 a month or whatever it is. And I'm like, I'm paying for the whole year. Like, we're doing it. Whole year sub right off the bat. Let's go. And you get in there, and then you find a bunch of people who, one, follow Ray, the way they think about things analytically, the way they think about it in a process. And I end up meeting this guy called Adam. And for anybody who comes to the show already knowing about me and Adam, you know, I found, you know, my doppelganger, not by looks. Definitely not by looks. We couldn't be more different. But we start finding out that even in a Patreon where everybody listens to Ray's content and kind of thinks the same, we're different. Like, we are in there having arguments in the Discord. And, like, Adam and I are on the same side of these arguments. And we're fighting off everybody like we're Jon Snow in Game of Thrones. Like, just two men out there with a sword against the Horde. Like, no, I think we're right on this because of this and this and this. So as Adam and I start DMing back and forth, like, you see what this guy posted? This is crazy. Like, I'm with you. Like, we should be doing this. As we DM back and forth, it goes on and on for months. And at one point, my wife thinks I probably have a girlfriend, you know, because I'm always on my phone and sending messages. Like, no, it's Adam. Trust me. It's some dude from Ohio. Are you sure? You ever seen him? No, but trust me.
You're being catfished.
Some dude from Ohio. That's right. So as we keep talking, I said, you know what? Like, I think what makes our process a little different, what makes us different is we consume a lot of content from various people. You know, we're still following what Scott's doing. We're following what Bunk Bed Breakdowns are doing. We're following another guy out there. I give a shout out to DF Bean Counter on Twitter, Drew. We're following what he does. You know, mm-hmm. We follow Ray. We even sub to Ray's Discord, and we follow all these smart people in here. And I think what is done for us is we've taken, like, everybody's process, which is a little bit different, and we've taken bits and pieces that we really agree with or we really vibe with, and we've kind of made it our own. Like, it's kind of shaped us. I said, you know what would be great? We should start a podcast. I said, let's just go out there and do it. I don't care if anybody listens to it or not. We get zero listeners. It's still going to be 10 times better than us texting through DMs on Discord back and forth. At least we'll be able to talk, and I'll be able to hear your voice. And, you know, we'll be able to have a good conversation that doesn't get lost in translation with text. He's like, you know what? Let's do it. So went out to the Amazon, got on Amazon, and I bought like a Blue Yeti mic, just something simple that you can plug in. And Adam, yeah. Yep. Adam goes, I'll get the same one. And I said, you know what? I can't really think of anything. I can't find anything on, like, how to host a podcast. I said, so we'll just create a Patreon, like, right off the jump. And I said, because it's kind of our joke thing, and we're just going to do it because we like it, and, you know, it's about us, and we just want to have fun and, you know, talk back and forth. I said, we'll charge $1, right? That'll be the only thing we charge, is $1 for the Patreon, because they wouldn't let us go any less. Like, we won't let you charge anything less. So we started up, and, you know, a couple of guys in Ray's Discord, you know, asked about it, you know, when it got brought up in conversation. And, you know, I think maybe we had like 10 subs, like, right off the bat. And it's people we knew in Ray's Discord, and then, like, our wives, you know, like, family, that kind of stuff. Just hopped right in. I mean, the first podcast I did was solo, and it's like 15 minutes because Adam didn't have his mic yet. And I'm like, yeah, I just got to get something out there. I got to get this off my chest. And it's terrible. I've never gone back and listened to it, but I know it's horrible. I know it's terrible. I don't know exactly what I talked about it there. I know I dunked all over Trey Sermon in his rookie year, just saying that, no, you shouldn't draft this guy at the end of your rookie drafts. And hey, turned out to be right, at least. Got something right over my career. But we started it, and Adam hopped on. We did our first full episode, and people are like, ah, that's not too bad. You guys ain't doing too bad. And a lot of that just became, you know, we consume so much content. We started to take bits and pieces of how to do content from other people and how to have those conversations and really try to convey that to the audience. But it really just started out as a joke because I was tired of DMing Adam.
So how did it start taking off the way that it has? Because you guys have a great following now, and a lot of people in this industry bring up South Harmon when they're talking about great video work and great podcasting and all of that. So how did you go from that to where you guys are now?
So it never would have happened without Ray. So I will give Ray all the props in the world for this. We had been doing it for maybe 5 months at that time. You know, we were doing a weekly show, just Adam and I put it on the Patreon. We started a Discord just so we could have, like, people come in and, you know, just kind of a place to, like, drop tweets, you know, tweets that we thought were interesting for the dynasty landscape, you know, so-and-so, you know, had a great pro day, that kind of stuff. And really just a shit post, right? Just a place where you can just make fun of whatever, right? just what idiots do in a Discord. And we got a few more people into it and a few more people heard our stuff. And Ray did a great job of, you know, like, hey, go check these guys out. They ain't too bad, you know, like promoting us. But we'd been doing it about 5 months and Ray came to us. And I remember it was like right before Christmas of that first year that we were doing podcasts. And so 2020, came to us and he was like, hey, what do you guys think about doing a show for us? And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, is this a joke? Like, are you just pulling my leg? He goes, no, I've listened to you guys' stuff. It's pretty good. I'm like, nah, you're full of it, man. You haven't listened. He's like, no, I'm a Patreon subscriber. I listen to your stuff every week. It comes out. I'm like, get out of here. Ended up, he was serious. So starting in January, we started doing a podcast for him called the 4D Chess Dynasty Podcast, right? And one of the things he told us, kind of as our mentor, you know, come up with a podcast logo, you know, something that people will look and go, oh, I want to click on this. And, you know, come up with your descriptions. And we did that first one, and we had a show sheet. I want to say that was a mile long. We're like, we're gonna do this right. Because up at that point, we hadn't done show sheets at all. But we're like, we're in the big leagues now. Like, this is on Ray. He's taking a chance on us. We can't screw this up. So we did a show sheet. And I'm not lying to you, Casey. With the show sheet was the worst thing that I've ever done in my entire life. Like, probably worse than that first Patreon podcast. Yeah. I have never done a show sheet since. Like, I will do show sheets if, you know, I go and guest on somebody's podcast and they send me a show sheet, you know, I'll take the time to go through it. But when we do our podcast, it's let's just talk. You know, I might have an idea that comes into my head right before we hit record, and that's what we're going to roll with and kind of bring you into our brains and our thought process. And it's not always right. I mean, a lot of times it's probably going to be wrong, but how did I get there? Right. It's kind of like when they tell you to show your work in math class. When you're a kid, you're like, I don't need to do this. I just know what the answer is. Well, if you're wrong, how did you get wrong? Right? Yeah. Showing your work. So bringing your thought process. So we started 4D, did it for Ray, kind of took off. Within a couple months, Ray reached out and he was like, hey, he's been doing a Dynasty trade show every Saturday, you know, breaking down trades. And that's right up Adam and I's alley. You know, a trade gets posted in the Discord and we're the biggest critics, you know, like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. That's terrible. This guy's all god awful. You don't want him on your team. Ray goes, how would you like to guest on this trade show? And I'm like, oh, like I'm losing my mind. Like, yes, absolutely. So there I am. I don't know if people find it or whatever. You gotta go back and search, but there I am. Looks like I'm in my mom's basement. this is before I even had like a shower curtain that I used to put behind me just to block it off. Get on the Dynasty trade show. And within a couple months after that, Ray came to us and he said, hey, you and Adam are doing a good job on 4D. The trade show was a hit. How would you guys like to take over the trade show and do video and like webcam now? And like, I got to get this up and going and get the audio better. And everything just kind of snowballed from there, right? As 4D got out there on Ray's platform and as the trade show got on YouTube, more and more people gravitated to what we were doing over at South Harmon and subscribing to our Patreon. And, you know, our weekly show became bigger and bigger. And everything was just kind of a wild ride. And then we got up to the first time I went to the expo. So 2022 season, the first expo. Finding out that there's a thing called the Fantasy Football Expo. And Bob Long, what a sweetheart too. You know nothing. Nope. I mean, We had a following, but it's maybe like 50 subscribers to our Patreon. And then how many ever Ray was getting on downloads for, you know, YouTube on the trade show or the podcast. Bob finding out that, hey, you know, this Mike guy, he just reached out to me in my DMs and said, hey, Bob, we're going to the expo. Really like to have you on just to talk to the audience about the expo. He's like, sure thing. You know, I can do it tomorrow if you want. I'm like, Jesus, Bob. Like, you're a big deal. You're going to hop on us. And so I remember interviewing Bob Long for the first time. Also, just as nervous as the first time I was doing the trade show with Ray or doing our first 4D pod. Like, holy shit, Bob Long's on here.
Yeah, Bob has been so helpful to me as well. Like, he's just been such a supportive dude. So, yeah, it is good to see that kind of stuff in the community. And seeing the expo and seeing how many people are into fantasy football is amazing. I found out about y'all through the Fantasy Football Expo. I probably really, yeah. So, you know, and a lot of people that I've talked to, you know, when I said like, hey, I'm going to go start doing content with South Harmon, they're either like, oh, holy crap. They have really, you know, everything over there is so nice and so put together. Wow. Or they're like, who is this company? Because this is like the fourth time today that I've heard about them. So, you know, so that was pretty cool to know that I made a good decision. But, you know,
nice. Wow, I think it's a fantastic decision.
It is a fantastic. Well, okay. So, but back to just having your own site and running a site, and you and Adam just doing such a great job with that. How did you transition into getting more people on board with you guys and putting out the content that you guys put out now?
So at some point, Ray made the decision that the trade show was going to go away, or not go away. It was going to go away from his YouTube. We were still going to do the audio podcast for the trade show, but he was a big pusher of, hey, why don't you guys get your own YouTube going? And up that point, you know, I'd hosted a couple lives, which is like mock drafts, and you get like two people tune in, you know, that kind of thing. But trying to expand where we do no thumbnails at the time, like we weren't even doing thumbnails at the point, which is like a faux pas now in the YouTube space. But just trying to get that up and off the ground. He said, I want you guys to still do the audio podcast for the trade show, but record the video and put it on your YouTube. And then if they want to see the video, now they got to come to your guys' YouTube and start helping grow your brand. And that was another catalyst, you know, that was another just throwing some gas on the fire of South Harmon right there and kicking it off. And I want to say through 4D and the trade show, building out our Patreon a little bit, getting multiple tiers in there. One of the great things about our Patreon for us is we really love that. It's kind of cliche to say like family feel, but it's like a real friendly feel. And especially, you know, we love all of our supporters, everybody who we still got the OG $1 tier. If you just want to say thanks and hop in the Discord and have a place to ask a trade question or just ship post whatever you want, you have that. But we have multiple tiers with different benefits. But you go to that top tier, the what we call the Sauvage tier after the Cologne. I don't remember how that all started, why we even named it that. I do actually own Sauvage Cologne. I think it smells great, but I'm also 37, so I have no idea what's, you know, in style or good anymore. But yeah, but that kind of feel of, listen, it's capped off at a certain number of people. Only a certain number of people or spots are ever going to be available for this. And then everybody in there just, when we first started out, like Adam and I are the ones driving the conversation and like, hey, we want to get people talking and conversing back and forth to the way it is now. I mean, I might not check it for a day because I'm busy doing work or whatever. And you go in there and there's 75, 120, 200 unread messages of those guys just going back and forth about whatever it is, you know, style, fashion, sports. I mean, some people are in there talking baseball. Good on you for baseball. I have no idea what the hell's going on. So good on them. But that kind of real feel where these people that are in this tier are actually like friends with each other, like internet friends, similar to how Adam and I met. And, you know, like we actually cared about, you know, each other's wives and families and what's going on with your job. And like, how's life treating you, buddy? Like that kind of stuff. So it's all just been this snowball effect really since Ray took a chance on us. And it led up until the expo last year. And right before the expo last year, we had a conversation with Ray and kind of decided just the way DD was going, the direction that he was taking that with his ambition and how big ours had gotten at that point, that it was probably in the best interest for us to really just focus on our stuff, leave Destination Devi, and really just put all our effort and time into doing South Harmon and growing that to crazily wherever the hell it is right now. Yeah. I don't believe it, from a joke podcast to... You know, we broke 10,000 YouTube subscribers and then 12,000. I got a bunch of stuff to do a giveaway for it. And now we're going to have our own live draft stream coming up in April. It feels like a show every day and hiring people. You know, I never thought I'd be in the position where I'm like, hey, you know, I can actually pay you if you want to do content
for us. Yeah.
Or you want to edit a video, I could pay you.
Yeah.
This is nuts. And then meeting Koopa organically, like pretty much everybody who's at South Harmon has kind of been this organic thing. You're the first person I ever reached out to, like, hey, Casey, I don't know if I have the clout or anything, but, you know, if you're looking for something, we'd love to have you. So you should feel special. You're the first one. Everybody else has always come to me.
Well, I appreciate that. Yes, yes. I appreciate that so much. Like, just getting to talk with both of you guys over there, Adam, Mike, you guys are both just like amazing people. And just, I know this is, oh my gosh, I always get on here and just talk so much awesomeness about the people that come on the show, but like, it is cool to see how you've grown and how you've taken people with you. And you brought up Koopa, and he's really instrumental, I know, just with the warp tool and everything that is going on with South Harmon. Can you just kind of explain that to the listeners, to the people that haven't checked it out and don't have any clue what we're talking about right now?
Yeah. Koopa found us through Ray, doing 4D in the trade show, and then subbed to our Patreon and was in there, and you know, he'd type and stuff. And then he finally came to us in DMs one time, and he was like, hey, you know, I listened to an episode. And at the time, we had been listening to a Scott Connor episode where he was talking about this thing called warp and like how you could use it for Dynasty, how you could kind of cut through the BS of player takes and, you know, I think this guy's going to do good. And I think this guy's going to do this. And, you know, a lot of thinking that this is going to happen. And actually get to the numbers of your league. Like, what does this player actually mean in position with your scoring settings and how many starters you have at running back and how many starters you have at wide receiver and how big your league is? How much of a difference is that between the two? So the basics of it is, if anybody's followed baseball, they use a metric called WAR, wins above replacement. WARP is just saying wins over replacement player. It's just a different way of saying it. But what it does is it looks at a player and it gives them a win share. Like, how many games would this player win for your team in fantasy football, in dynasty, redraft, doesn't really matter, best ball, underdog, if that's your thing. How many wins would this player on your team give you versus just a replacement level, an average, like the league average? And Koopa, when he first brought it to us, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool, but it's like Google spreadsheets, and it took him, you know, a long time to run your specific league and then give you a graph, and you didn't really know what you're looking at. This is all right, Koopa. We kind of used it, and I didn't give it enough attention. And then months go by, and Koopa comes back, and he goes, hey, I got this like tool I've made now where you can input your league name from Sleeper, and you can select which league you like to do, and then you can hit calculate, and it's going to take a few minutes, but it'll run it, and it'll give you this league-specific graphs. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of a game changer, right? Like, I don't have to give you a league ID anymore. Like, I can just do it on myself. You know, I'm a big guy. So bathroom breaks are plentiful for me and long, as my wife likes to say, you take forever in there. But it's me messing around on my phone. So I'm sitting there on my phone. Like, I can look up the warp for, you know, Johnny's league here and see what I'm doing. Oh, wow. Like, quarterbacks are worth a lot more in this league. Or, man, running backs, surprisingly, in this specific league score really well. Getting some of those top guys really matter. So that was the game changer when Koop made that. And it really progressed from there when he was like, hey, you know, I think we should put it on a website. And him and Adam started talking back and forth about it. And I was like, us having a website? Whatever. I was like, it's going to cost this much to host it. And it's going to, you know, we got to do this. And I'm like, you know, like, I'm not really big into this, but, you know, I'll let you guys, I'm never going to say no to you guys. If you guys think it's a good idea, go for it. Just letting you know, I'm going to provide nothing to this conversation at all. You know, we'll take some of the Patreon money and I'll pay for it, but I don't think this is going to do anything. And they launched it, and it was nuts how big it got. And then you get to the expo, and we decide to do a booth, and you know, we're talking to people, and it's such a good experience at the expo, week long, just being there around people and talk to them about warp. And, you know, South Harmon is a great conversation starter. Like, how'd you guys come up with the name? And I'm like, I'm a nerd and I loved the movie Accepted. I thought it was awesome. Okay. Why South Harmon? I go, well, they made a fake school and felt like we were making a fake podcast about fantasy football. When anybody can get in.
Origin story, man. Right. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I probably would have forgot that. And that was like one of the first questions I thought. So
so some context on that. There's a movie, 2007 or 8. Jonah Hill, Justin Long are the big stars in it. But Justin Long plays a character who's like, all his friends when he's graduating are getting into schools and going off to college, and he didn't get anywhere. Like, he procrastinated. So in order to not disappoint his parents, he, him and his buddy, Jonah Hill, decide to make a fake college. Jonah Hill's character got into college, a good one, but he's a very savvy computer person. So he helps him make a fake college, and they rent out like an old insane asylum to like, so his parents can visit and see it's a college, and they hire a fake dean. And then they end up, you know, on the website, forgot to turn off the apply or the clickable link for accepted. So like all these people who didn't get into college hit there and accepted, and it just turns into, you know, mayhem or whatever. But I thought it was a perfect way to start a company. It's like they started a fake college. I could start a fake fantasy football company. And if you want to join, go for it. But it's fake.
It's fake. That, you know, I just watched that movie probably, I would say just watched, probably within the last year or two, probably rewatched it with my wife. And yeah, when I said South Harmon, like she immediately knew what I was talking about. So
that's love it. Love it. Awesome. Yeah, they call it the South Harmon Institute of Technology. So for those of you who can put acronyms together,
there you go.
It's why we have a poop logo. It's why our Discord colors are brown.
Okay, so just a little bit more, because you talked about the expo not a little bit more on in life, but just a little bit more here, because this section is important. The expo section is important. So you brought up the expo. I like to talk about the expo on this podcast because I think it is a great event for people to go to get to meet like minds and to get to meet people that aren't even similar than them, just kind of bounce ideas off and make friends and do all that. And I know South Harmon's done a really incredible job while they're there and put on some great stuff for the listeners and the community and everything. So do you want to kind of just give your experience with the expo and maybe some highlights from that?
Yeah. So the first one we went to, we ended up getting Ray and Jay Rich and Ike and Gene from Off the Line. We got a lot of the Destination Devi guys to go. We didn't get, you know, like some of the other Discord members that I was really hoping for. Brandon, if you're out there listening to this, Brandon, like I still haven't met you in person, but a good friend, Jordan Backus, like those guys. But we got the like core group and met up at the expo, knew they were going. They got an Airbnb like right next to it, maybe like not too far away from the field. So Adam and I, thinking about lodging, we're like, hey, let's find something. And Adam's from the area. So Adam's maybe an hour and a half away from Canton, up towards Cleveland. And he goes, you know, I found this place. They host weddings and stuff. It's out in the middle of nowhere. You know, we get some people to stay with us. So Maddie Kiwoom and Jones had a podcast that we'd been on. And we were like, hey, you guys want to, you know, stay with us at the expo? Yeah, it'd be awesome. Like, we got a place to stay. And we had some of the people from our Patreon, some of our followers who, like, really were active, say, yeah, we want to go to the expo. And I'm like, we got a house. You know, we got rooms. I don't know if there was like 12 beds or something like this. So that first expo, it's just us staying at the house and then we're commuting back and forth and we're having such a good time meeting people. But that first one, it's like, I can't even believe I'm here. You know, like nobody knows who we are. You know, I had Destination Devi on my tag. Nobody knows who South Harmon is at all, but Ray's introducing us to people and I'm just starstruck at most. Oh my gosh, like that's so-and-so. Can you believe that? Oh, you look at that. That's that guy. Right? So we're... we're like tourists. So leading up into the second expo, we wanted to do a little bit bigger. And by this time, we kind of knew that we were going to be out on our own and doing our own thing. And we'd made a lot more connections from the first expo, been on a lot of people's podcasts and a lot of people we vibe with and communicated with. And our Discord had grown, our Patreon, you know, we had the top tier guys, you know, who were in there. And it felt like we knew everything about them at that point. So we decided to rent out an old school. For last year's expo, an old school. So this guy had bought this old high school or middle school. I mean, I'm talking from like 1920s, 1930s, but he renovated this thing immaculate. So at the time last year, I think he had 2.5 floors done. And I want to say there's 20 or 25 rooms, like school rooms. And he'd done it with like big queen size beds and couches in each room and your own air conditioner and mini fridge. And then you got this auditorium and gym in this little like commons area with a pool table and, you know, air hockey, all this stuff in there. There's a piano in there, which I had to sit down. I don't play piano, but I pulled up YouTube and I was like, I got to learn how to play Still DRE on the piano.
Oh,
and
man.
By God, I did. Before that expo was over, I was playing Still DRE on the piano. So we had all these people. Fizzle came and stayed with us. Scott Connor, a bunch of the Dynasty Trades and Five guys. And by a bunch, I mean all of them, Clay. So we had a bunch of people stay with us, maybe 20 or 25 people staying with us at the school. You could walk to, what's it, Centennial Park, where the Friday night thing is, the Friday night opening party. And then you could walk right back. And I mean, we're doing all kinds of crazy shit at this place. I mean, you got a bunch of people living there. But the coolest part about it was, as people are getting in on like Thursday night, as they're like finding it, and Adam's telling them where it is and where the directions are, and we're letting people in, there's like 30 seconds tops of like that awkwardness of meeting somebody in person for the first time. And then after that, it's like, was your lifelong friend. It's like, well, there's no weird getting to know you phase. Like, I already know you. We talked in Discord forever. We've been on your podcast. So yeah. Could you imagine the alcohol's flowing? Like, shit's getting broke.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. We got T-Rock, who writes articles for us, Tarek. He came to the first one and stayed with us. He came to the second one and stayed with us. We found out at the first one, this guy can cook his ass off. Like, he is an amazing cook. So the first time he made carnitas tacos for us, I swear to you, the best carnitas I've ever had in my entire life. They were phenomenal. So the second one, he comes and he goes, you know, I'm doing this better for you. And I'm like, hey, at this point, I got an LLC and this is a business trip. So I'll pay for everything. Like, here's the credit card. Here's the South Harmon credit card. Go to the store, get whatever you need. At that point, I think we'd bought like an electric smoker that we'd like brought down there so he could do his meat. First night he did burnt ends for us. And then, of course, the second night, we always got to get carnitas, man. Every time I'm around T-Rock, I got to get him to make me carnitas. So you just imagine, you know, all these people being there and just the camaraderie. And then you go to the expo events and it's the same thing, like getting to meet new people and, you know, people coming up to you and like, hey man, you know, it's good to see you. And I'm like, do you know who you are?
Yeah, like, right?
Oh, well, of course you know who you are. I know who you are. Like, well, you're talking to me. This is nuts. This is absolutely insane. So the expo is such a great event, and it was our first year doing a booth and really getting the Warp Tool out there. Yeah, I think this year, if we are to do a booth, no offense to anybody who does a booth, but this is why one of the perks of like hiring people for the company is like, you guys go do the booths. I'm going to sleep in a little bit later on Sunday. Cure this hangover from Friday night, Saturday night.
Oh my God, I know, man. I'm going to have a booth this year. Maybe you can have like a corner of my booth. I'll set it up for South Harmon. My sister is just telling me she wants to come to the expo this year. And I was like, oh, well, you know, you get free tickets for the expo if you have a booth. I was like, I can put your name on there and say that you're going to help work it too. And she's like, oh, yeah, we'll totally do that. And I was like, because her husband's coming too. I'm like, perfection. Thank you for getting married. I appreciate that.
Well, it's interesting because on Sunday, I want to be the person who's going around to other people's booths and talking to people and finding out about, you know, what they got going on.
Right.
And then all the panels are so good. And when you do a booth, like I didn't get a whole lot of opportunity. At least I got to go sit on the Women of Fantasy panel and see you and listen to your story and all the other fine women that were up there telling their stories. So it was absolutely incredible that year to be able to go do that. Mm-hmm. The first year, sadly, we didn't get to a lot of the panels because we didn't show up until like noon. And at that point, you know, you're starting to wind down everything in the afternoon because we're degenerates and we're way too hungover from our expeditions on Saturday. But Saturday night this year was a little bit more laid back. I think a lot of it is, you know, going to George's and just how cramped, like how many fantasy people can fit in that place. And for a big guy being elbow to elbow, I was not very comfortable in there. So it's like, all right, let's get a food and get out of here.
That's where I met Fizzle.
Yeah.
He was at George's. Yeah. And he, you know, he's showing me pictures of the school that you guys stayed in and, you know, meeting Dez and doing all that.
Yeah. Like, so we're doing it big. We already locked down with Gary, the guy who runs the school. We're going to get it for the whole week. So I'm going to make a whole week trip out of this thing. So whoever comes in, if they want to come in, you know, for all the days or they just want to come in for the weekend, we'll be there. But, you know, I already took off vacation from work. We're doing the whole week. So as soon as whoever he has the weekend before, because it is the Hall of Fame weekend, whoever has rented that out and takes off, he's like, you know, we'll get it cleaned up, let you know, and you guys can get right in. So maybe Monday or Tuesday. We'll be there.
Real world fantasy football style.
So I gotta get with Bob Log. We could have the unofficial start.
There we go. Right.
we could have it at the shit school.
Dope. That's awesome. Okay, you brought up LLC as well, and having a business and running a business. I'm sure that it's different than just, you know, like me who write for a website or do a podcast or whatever. What have you found to be maybe the most challenging part of running a business?
Financials are always a big challenge. Not money, because I'm incredibly blessed with how much money revenue like South Harmon brings in. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me. And one of the things for anybody who's a member of South Harmon or who's a team, just know that if you're on the team, like, I try to do whatever I can to make sure that everybody's going to eat, you know, everybody gets a share. I really want people to kind of be on this. The better South Harmon does, the better I can pay you, right? It's never really been about a financial thing for me. I'm pretty bad with finance in the end, to be completely honest. Like, I spent way too much money on giveaway stuff, but it's like, it's for the people. Like, we gotta do it for the people. I would say this, probably keeping up with everything, the website and all the different revenue streams that come in, YouTube, that kind of stuff, the Patreon, obviously, not getting people paid. I've never had a problem with that. It's just trying to keep track in my head, like, where are we going? And then running a business, like, real smart business people always have a goal. Like, this is where I want to get to, or I want to increase this, or, you know, we're spending too much money on this, you know, that real financial mind. And I'm more of the, fuck it. We're doing good. Hey, there's an extra $2,000 in there this week. Who wants some more money?
There you go.
Hey, we could buy a new jersey to give away. This would be awesome. Like, that kind of thing. So I always feel like I'm lacking, because, you know, people are like, where do you want to see South Harmon in this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just having fun doing what I'm doing. Like, I never thought I'd be at this spot ever. I never thought I'd be making any kind of extra money from doing podcasts or content. Like, who the hell would want to listen to me? Just a fat bearded guy. It was pretty dumb. There's
plenty of people out there, as we've seen. So it's awesome to see. And I'm like, you know, trying to jump into the world of putting out content and trying to grow. And when I told people at my old job, like, hey, I'm going to chase this dream of mine, and they were all like, this is so cool, that's so awesome. And then I'm like, yeah, but I'm scared. But I mean, you've got even more on your plate, just having a business and having to run that. I mean, I can't even wrap my brain around that.
The saving grace is when I wake up at 5:15 in the morning, and, you know, I put on my clothes and I go to my real job, it feels like a real job, right? Like, I'm never excited to go into work.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I get to go to work today. I'm never excited. And that's just the honest thing. When I come home from work, even though that, you know, from the minute I get home at 2:30 till maybe 9:30, 10:30, 11:30 at night, like, I'm doing something for South Harmon, you know, whether it's on the business side, whether it's content, whether it's just interacting with our Discord, doing mock drafts, like, whatever it is, it never feels like work to me. I never dread it, right? There's some mundane things of doing content, but they're okay. Like, they're okay. I'd much rather do those all day than do a real job. Much rather.
Yeah.
If you told me, like, one of the things I'm not good at and don't have a lot of skills, but I want to get better at, is video editing. But it's also scary. I'm not very good. I'm not very efficient at it. But if you told me that's all I did all day, it's still 1,000 times better than putting on work boots and going to work. Like, it is.
I get that.
Telling me I get to wake up, come down to my office, sit there, eat what I want, drink what I want, take a phone call when I want, and just edit a video all day. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'm lucky that I'm in a position where, like, we saved and we did all this and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And if I don't get my act together by a certain time, then I'm back out in the real world doing real world people stuff. So I'm like, okay, we've got a basic plan here, but, like, I don't know, the whole owning a business type of thing, because I know there's lots of people out there, even me included at one point in time, who's like, oh yeah, I would love to put out a fantasy football website, have content and be able to, you know, hire people and do all that. But it just seems like a pipe dream. It just seems like something. So the fact that you're doing this is, like, really cool to be able to sit down and talk with you, because I feel like this isn't really a side that I get to talk to people about that often, the business portion of it. And I, you know, a long time ago, I had talked to Nick from BDGE, and he was talking to me about brand, and you brought up brand as well. And South Harmon obviously is a brand. You look, you see the logo, you know the name, boom. When you're growing a brand, for people out there that are trying to grow a brand, maybe they're not trying to make money right now. They're just trying to get their foot in the door, trying to get started. What kind of advice do you have for people just starting out that are trying to grow their brand?
So the first thing I'll tell anybody, no matter what it is, for me is the old Nike slogan, just do it. Just do it. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Think about it in your entire life, you know, whether it's applying for a job, whether it's, you know, asking somebody out on a first date, the worst thing they're going to do is tell you no. Like, you know, our old saying when we're a kid, what are you going to do? Spank me and take my birthday away? Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So just do it. Just dive in. It's kind of just like fantasy football. It's just like Dynasty. You're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. Inevitably, everybody's going to mess up at some point. It doesn't matter. Can you learn from your mistakes and can you get a little bit better? Everything that I do, at least with running business or building a brand, that kind of thing, I'm no expert at it at all. Like, I'm not one to teach a class on it. Everything I've learned has been from somebody else, somebody else's advice. Like, okay, maybe I could take a little bit from this, you know? Like, why is Nick Ercolano so successful in building BDG? What does he do really well? Well, it's entertaining. It's hilarious. You feel like you know him. Like, you feel like you're behind the scenes, like it's a reality show and they just put a camera on these guys all the time. And that's why people drive to it. Not only that, like, he knows little tips and tricks, how to make a thumbnail, you know, how to edit a video just right. Can I take something away from that and put it on my own thing and make my own just a little bit better? So Adam and I both, him more so from the visual side, like if you see incredible graphics, that kind of stuff, great video editing, that's all on the back of his hard work. My stuff is just like, okay, can we do this a little bit more efficiently? Like, can we do this? Can we grow this part just a little bit more? You know, can we possibly get another revenue stream in here? If we get another revenue stream in here, I could pay Koopa more. You know, I could afford to maybe go out and pay Casey, get incredible Casey Kasem on here and do some Dynasty content, which would be amazing. Can I do that? Can I? T-Rock has been so good to us, a loyal follower. Could I possibly hire T-Rock to write articles? Like, do the articles generate any revenue for us on the website? No. Does the lab generate any revenue for us on the website? No. But I want to have those tools where somebody's like, I need a league management tool. You got anything that's free? Yeah, go to the lab on South Harmon. You can look up all your sleeper leagues and see how many player shares you have and who's making what trades in different leagues and get some ideas out that. If you want something else really cool, go check out T-Rock's articles. If you like to read, the guy writes incredible stuff for a guy who's not a professional writer. I sit there and read them and I'm like, wow, buddy, like I can feel your passion for this. I can feel the amount of work you put in it. And I don't feel like I'm paying you enough. I wish I could figure out how to monetize this so I could pay you even more, right, buddy. So it's all little stuff like that that we're just trying to tweak. I know right before we got on, I was looking at YouTube and I'm like, wait a minute, they got this affiliate program, you know, for like big brands and you can make a little extra if you promote certain products. There's plenty of products out there. You know, I'm always giving dude wipes crap because that's punny. I always give dude wipes a bunch of shit because like that's a product I use and I love to death. Like, I couldn't live without it. I don't know how heathens wipe with normal toilet paper. Get dude wipes. And I'm like, I'd be the perfect brand ambassador. Dude wipes, hit me up. Let's make something happen.
That has to happen.
So just the fact that there's little things that come along like that all the time, like just that minor thing, just keep adding to your repertoire. So if you were going to start this from ground one, whether it's a podcast or starting a business, one, just jump in. Just do it. I know it's scary, but the downside ain't that bad. So what? You failed. I've probably failed a billion times in my life. Everybody has at something. Start in and jump it and then just see if you can find like that little thing to make it a little better. Just one little thing at a time. And all of a sudden, boom, here you are. And you have no idea how the hell you got there.
Right? Oh my gosh. For real though. You take advantage of two things that I don't. And I probably should, which Discord and Patreon. So those seem to be really the things that I was always saying Clubhouse was going to be. So I kept feeling like Clubhouse, that's going to be the thing. And I couldn't even get on Clubhouse because I had an Android at the time. Right. And I'm like, that's going to be the thing because I can't see it. And that's usually how it goes. But like going into doing a Patreon like right away and just having that idea, like how did you decide that was the way you wanted to go? Like Patreon of all things is, I mean, I'm sure it was kind of new at the time. So how did you kind of come into deciding that's what the way you wanted to go?
So that was just by happenstance, right? Like looking to figure out how to start a podcast. And, you know, now that I know there's all these websites that allow you to host and, you know, maybe it charges this much, but they put them on Apple and Spotify and all this stuff. But I had no idea that stuff even existed. And I'm like, what I do know exists is Patreon because I'm a member of Raise, you know, I'm a member of, you know, BDG. Like I pay for, I know this exists.
Right.
So let me start here. But the one thing that's always been nice about Patreon, especially for me, is because I'm kind of an idiot, right? And Patreon just does a lot of the stuff for you. It's easy to use. It's easy to set up. You know, even the Discord, like you talk about, there's integration between the two. So for those of you who don't know, just a little back end on it, when you have a Patreon, you can actually put in a plugin or an extension with Discord, and you can actually set up roles. So if you were to come to South Harmon and subscribe to the Patreon, and let's say you go to the $5 tier, the pregame poop tier, because, you know, we got to play on the poop thing all the time until it's dead, just all the time. If you were to go there, you're like, well, how does that get assigned in Discord? It's automatic because of the integration, right? The bot between the two, there's a Patreon bot in the Discord. It knows when you link accounts that, hey, it'll invite you to the Discord and it'll automatically assign you your roles and it gives you all the channels that you have access to and all the data and stuff that you're looking for whatever that tier is. So the ease of use from Patreon has been absolutely incredible. Like for an idiot like me, it's amazing.
Okay, good. Because that was one of my biggest concerns with Patreon was I was going to get in there and get over my head and then I wouldn't know what to do and everybody's got such cool Patreons and what am I going to do? But it sounds like I need to just dive in and check it out.
You have, if you're just starting out, not just for you, but for anybody, if you're just starting out, utilize the assets that you have. Like a lot of people don't realize how many good people there are in the space, in the community that are willing to help you, that have a little bit of knowledge maybe you don't have, right? Like maybe there's somebody who's really good at making YouTube thumbnails. Like they got a little tip and trick. I know you and I were joking just last week when we were talking. I said one of the easiest things for me has been ChatGPT. You know, if you were to use ChatGPT to write an article to put on your fantasy site, like that's probably faux pas.
Yeah, right.
Like, come on. Yes, for sure. Yeah, that's faux pas. But little tips and tricks, like I need a little help with typing out a YouTube description for a show. Right, here's the basis of what we're talking about, but I can't write for shit. ChatGPT helped me out a little bit, right?
Right.
Like, give me some paragraph about this video so I don't sound like a complete idiot. Right. I want people to know clear and concise what the hell we actually talked about on this episode so they're not like, who are these morons? But it's little things like that that you pick up. There's so many incredible resources out there. I just got brought onto this thing called Time Bolt, which takes like long podcasts, audio or video, and the AI automatically cuts out like all the dead space because there's usually inevitably a lot of dead space, you know, yes, ums and that kind of stuff in there. And you would know for sure doing this podcast how incredible this is. That can be incredibly time consuming going through and manually taking that out. So like you can find little things like that just to help you out. And some people just have it, right? Like if you look at some of these big time content creators or platforms out there, like, yes, I'm not saying that they can't do it. Or there might be a few people out there who do everything themselves, which those people are robots at this point. Like, you're superhuman. You're incredible. But they probably have a team. Like, I have a team at South Harmon. I don't do thumbnails. That's Adam, right? I just started doing video editing. Our video editor was Christian. Christian would do videos. You know, he would make the shorts. He would do the TikTok for us. Fizzle runs our social media, our X account, Twitter. Right? Like, that's not me. Like, I got other people to help me out in that part. A lot of it, like, when you get to it, don't think you have to get everything at once, right? Like, when we first started out, who are the people doing it all? Me and Adam. Yeah. And nobody to help us, all right? Nobody to help edit this podcast.
At least you had Adam.
Right.
Not anybody.
You don't have anybody
here with this. I went with you guys. So.
But you do have an incredible amount of people out there that yes. are willing to help, right?
100%.
That will jump in at any given moment.
Oh, yeah. I ask questions all the time to people, and they're probably like sick of me asking questions.
No, they hate.
It just happens.
Trust me. As a person who answers a lot of questions and built a show called AMA.
Yeah, there you go.
We are not tired of answering not questions.
Tired of it. You brought up ChatGPT, and you did show me some tricks and tips with that, which have been real helpful. If you guys have listened to the last few episodes of this podcast, the intro is basically my edited version of what ChatGPT is telling me after I plug in, you know, the transcript from the
right.
podcast. So I'm like, wow, that made my job a whole lot easier, giving me like key points and everything for the podcast description and everything else. So yeah, it's been helpful, but I did tell you that ChatGPT was going to come up with some questions for
oh.
you. Now, they do know that this is a podcast where I'm interviewing somebody in the fantasy football space.
Let's go.
This is what the five questions were.
This feels like me versus Skynet. This is what it is. Like, the machines are learning.
It's learning.
I'm
right
John
now.
Connor.
You're really helping with the new AI that's coming out right
oh,
now.
Oh, no.
Like, to help, you know, people ask you, you had brought up earlier, don't write your fantasy football articles with ChatGPT.
Right.
They might be getting some information from you based off what these questions are to help. AI to like screw anybody over, but here we go. They're not out to get you. All right. Here's the first question. So if you could have any NFL player, past or present, on your fantasy football team, who would it be and why?
Ooh, there's so many good ones over the years to think about. All right. So if we put this in the context of today and the way I play, which is best ball leagues and super flex format, right? Like kind of put mm-hmm. that as the baseline, right? Knowing what I know about warp and positional value. It's got to be a quarterback. It's okay. got to be a quarterback, right? Like the Danian Thomason would be an easy one to say, but the way we at now with the running back position, I don't know if you'd want to do that. LT was great. LT yeah. was great. No shade there. Have to be a quarterback. And I think with everything that I know, it's got to be a rushing quarterback. So how about prime Michael Vick with the Atlanta Falcons?
All right. You really thought that one through.
I'd go with prime Michael Vick with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, hopefully it wouldn't play out the exact same way that right. it did with the dogfighting right. and the prison sentence and that. But if I get Michael Vick as a rookie and, you know, that'd be all right. I think I might be okay.
Yeah, I think he'd be set up. Here's the second question it wants me to ask you. It's what's the most outrageous trade offer you've ever received in one of your fantasy football leagues? Can you think of one?
I'm playing 40 leagues. I get one daily. It's like, who do you want me to shade now?
I think I should have probably told them how many leagues you were in so that ChatGPT.
I try to do a lot of my stuff as a what we talk about process, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, Dynasty Trades and Fives are great people for this, where they talk about process over players, right? Kind of put the names aside and your feelings. But there are a few players where I just refuse. And one for me this year is going to be anybody who comes to me trying to trade me for Saquon Barkley, the brand new Eagle. Like, is it the right process for me to turn down some of these trades for him? No. And I'll be upfront with you and I'll tell you that on a podcast or when I'm grading a trade. My heart, though, will not let me part with Saquon Barkley in 2024. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you just have to go with the heart, and the heart wants what the heart wants.
Right. If you're offering me anything less than the 103 in this rookie class for Saquon Barkley, just hit the road, Jack.
Okay, well, let's go on to another one. Let's go describe your ideal fantasy football draft party. What foods, drinks, and activities would be involved?
All right, so Fizz is really trying to get this. So at South Harmon, the shit school next year, he wants to get a redraft league. Now, I'm not going to say I'm anti-redraft. I don't want people to hate me, but it's not my thing. Okay,
right.
When I think of redraft, it's my one home league. And then I'll do some underdog best balls like that. That's the extent of it. Outside of that, man, I'm dynasty through and through. But I think that would be the ideal one is people of the shit community in a live draft in person at the shit school at the Fantasy Football Expo. And then whatever the hell T-Rock's cooking.
Yeah.
Ideal food. Drink is easy, man. Just give me some Svedka vodka and I'll be on my way.
Hey, like we'll be
good to go. Just give that to me straight. The lemon's good. Blue raspberry's okay. But
oh, just give lemon's that my jam. Straight. All right.
Yeah.
I'm a vodka soda gal more, but you know.
Vodka. I'm a vodka soda guy minus there the soda.
Go. Yeah, minus the soda. Put that on a t-shirt. Okay. The next question we have here is, have you ever had a fantasy football sleeper that you were proud of drafting before they became a breakout star?
Ooh, man. There's a lot of them over the years. There has been a lot. Not to toot my own horn, because I've had just as many whoops. Yeah. like if fantasy receipts actually cared about me, they could fill up a whole timeline, which is my F-ups. The Maurice Jones-Drew one is always going to stick out to me just because of the size. And, you know, it's UCLA, nobody at the time. I mean, even now, if you think about it, not a lot of people watch Pac-12, RIP that. That's conference is dead now. But West Coast football, just because of the time difference and when those games come on. You know, when a game's kicking off at, you know, midnight on the East Coast. Not a lot of viewers, just saying. So him kind of coming out of UCLA and being the under the radar guy, that was my dude, though. I like that guy. A little 5'8" bowling ball of just, you don't want to tackle him.
I love it. Last question from ChatGPT is, if you could challenge any celebrity or sports personality to a fantasy football matchup, who would it be and why?
Ooh. So this one's interesting, too, because there's a lot of people in the space. And listen, if you do content, I understand the work that goes into it. But there are some former players, let me just say that, in prominent positions. And I don't know if I'll ever beat the guy, but it'll be interesting if we do, because I have never said nice things about him ever. And it's Chris Sims. Chris Sims, every time he comes out with his quarterback rankings, like I get visibly mad. Like, how can you be a former quarterback, you know, have this platform, and you rank Jalen Hurts as the 32nd best quarterback? Yeah. You know, what are you doing? This is abysmal. So Chris Sims, I'd like to take him on in a fantasy league. I'd dust him too.
I would totally pay money for that.
Like, yeah.
I would love to see that. And that concludes the ChatGPT portion of this podcast.
Don't get me, Skynet.
Yes, please don't. Please don't. All right. Well, Mike, before we go, I do like to ask everybody what they like to do in their free time. I know it's far and few between during, especially when the season's
getting,
it's getting there. Draft is coming up. That's exciting. And what do you like to do in your free time, though? I know you brought up your family. Just, you know, let us know what you like to do.
Man, free time.
No,
I
know, right?
I do have some. I'm a big movie guy. I really enjoy movies and TV shows. Some of them just capture it. This year, specifically, F1 racing, for whatever reason, like I've really gotten into F1 racing. And that's all stemming from Netflix and Drive to Survive. Like if that show didn't exist, I'd never watch an F1 race in my entire life. But I find it fascinating, right? NASCAR's one thing. I'm not a big NASCAR person, probably just because they make nothing but left turns, and I don't know if that turns me off, but something about these Europeans all over the place just driving around at 230 miles an hour, just whizzing by, gets me. Video games still a very big part of my life. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I don't care at this point. You know, I'm married with 3 girls. If I hit the open market as a free agent tomorrow, I'm not going to do very well. Okay. I'm not getting a contract. Let's just say that I'll be a free agent forever.
Forever.
So at this point, just me and my wife, it's just like, you know, who am I impressing other than you? We're locked in forever. Yeah. Like we got lifetime contracts. So video games still for me. Helldivers 2, for those of you who game out there, has just come out, and it's probably because it's got that Starship Troopers feel as a video game. Just gets me because that movie is amazing. Amazingly bad, amazingly awesome. However, either way, it starts with amazing.
Right.
And then obviously sports games. Madden, super incredibly excited about NCAA football coming back. And, you know, maybe doing some content on NCAA football. You know, maybe some South Harmon live streams where Adam and I or a South Harmon team are facing off. You know, seeing who's going to come out on top. Yeah, and cars. I love my car to death. I love going fast. There's no reason for me to have a 630 horsepower Mustang in Iowa, of all things, but it just makes me feel good. You never know. Braylon might be late for dance one day, and I need to get her there real fast. So
exactly.
It's a good thing I can go fast.
Good thing you can go fast. Thinking about the family. There you go.
Right. She likes it. She loves it to death. Plus, it's orange and obnoxious.
Oh, it's
just,
orange.
Yeah, it just fits my personality of.
That's great. I always say, who's driving that orange car when I see somebody driving around an orange car? But orange. Is
I like it too color, because so. if you steal an orange car that looks like that, you're pretty dumb.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get smart. Found. You can't hide.
Not smart at all.
Steal a gray one. Nobody will find that.
No one. But you know what we will find? We will find Mike and all of his awesome content somewhere. Why don't you go ahead, Mike, and let everybody know where they can find you, what awesome content you have going on, and just anything else that you'd like to just express at the end.
Listen, for those of you listening to this, go back and replay that because that was an A-plus transition right there that I wish I could pull off.
I get what one a transition. Of those every now and then. So.
You can follow me on Twitter at IowaMichael. Normal way to spell Michael. My parents weren't that cool. But South Harmon Fantasy Football, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you want to get it. And then patreon.com/South Harmon, southharmonff.com. If the website's your thing, we got a store. We got some merch. It's not as good as Casey's. It's way dumber. Not as not as graphically inclined and has way more poop on it. That's probably a negative.
Come on, guys.
That's probably a negative, but. I'm not the greatest Twitter follower. I do too much shit posting. Most of my stuff's just retweeting everybody else who does really well in the space or, you know, promoting the South Harmon team. But that's where you can find our stuff. But if you really want some debauchery, Wednesday nights, 9:30 Eastern, AMA. I know a lot of people love the 4D pod, just how we think about things and the strategy. I get that. They love the trade show because it's a dynasty trade show and grading trades is always fun. But my favorite is always going to be AMA and interacting with the community and live chat and some of the wild, wacky shit that happens in those and the questions that come in. And Adam and I just drinking way too much alcohol, and the guests that we get on are phenomenal. You know, like Alan Sieslowski has been amazing. We've had Cody Carpentier, Matty Kiwoom on, Walrus. I forget his real name, but he does content in the stock space. And for him just to randomly reach out to us on Twitter, like, I love what you guys do. Could I ever get on the show? Say less next week. Sign you up. Come on, buddy. Bring some bourbon. We're going to have a good time. Trust it. So Wednesday night AMA is definitely my favorite. That'd be the one I'd push to everybody.
Yes. Everybody needs to go check that all out. Like, check it all out now. Do it now. This podcast is almost over, so you can go check all that out.
You can check out Casey Kasem real soon.
Real soon. We got
real soon on South Harmon stuff.
We're working behind the scenes, fun stuff going on. So yeah, that'll be soon. I am putting my butt into gear and saying, let's go, because I'm excited about our new venture.
Oh yeah, we'll get you on an AMA too. We'll let you loosen up.
I need to.
You just tell your wife, you know, stock up on the vodka and the soda. I'm going to need it.
Yeah, right. Please and thank you. That sounds like a delightful evening. I'm about to go do that right now after this. Like, I haven't eaten dinner yet. I'm going to eat dinner and maybe have some vodka. We don't know.
Good call. But, eat first.
And then we'll have to. Yes, I do need to eat first. And we'll have to have Mike back on the show. I say we. Yes, us listeners and me. We'll have to have Mike back on the show at some point because there was so much that I probably could have asked. I just don't want to be late for dinner. And I already am. So, you know,
for sure.
Anyway,
I'm a notoriously long talker. This could go another 3 hours for sure.
Oh yes. That's why we're going to split it into two parts. So he'll be back and I'm making sure of it. So anyway, everyone, please make sure that you go check out all of Mike's content. Go check out South Harmon because it's an amazing spot. I promise you'll enjoy it. And also I wanted to say thank you for listening to this podcast because it means the world to me. It really does to have people reach out to me and let me know that they like listening to it. Thank you so much. And also come back next week for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. And remember to stay rad.
Get real. Time to get real, everybody.